Here in Jeremiah 52, we have the account of Zedekiah's flight from Jerusalem. And he flees from Jerusalem, really under condemnation, with the Babylonian army all around Jerusalem. He flees. It was a no-brainer. He had no chance of escape, really. They were encircling the whole city. But he flees anyway towards Jericho. He flees on the Jericho road. Well, the Lord Jesus tells a parable about a man who goes down from Jerusalem to Jericho and is attacked and left as dead, and the law can't save him. The priest and the Levite walk by, but the Good Samaritan comes and saves him. And clearly that man, that injured man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, is every one of us. And that man surely is based upon the record we have here in Jeremiah 52 of Zedekiah under condemnation going that same way. Well, he goes out, he went forth out of the city, verse 7, by night, just as Judas went out by night. And he surely was a symbol of all those who would be condemned. Cain likewise went out from the presence of God. Esau went out from Canaan into Edom, slinking away from the face of his brother Jacob. And John, 1 John 2, talks about those who leave their faith as going out. They went out from us. So then, this was all the picture of a condemned man going out by night. So he flees, and we're told in verse 7 that he flees through the king's garden, which was, it seems, the sort of private entrance of the king to the temple. So he's fleeing from the temple, no refuge in the temple for him. And the record says, now the Chaldeans were against the city all around it. And he digs through the wall, through his human strength, which now is no good to him, and he flees down towards the Arabah, the sort of chalky depression in the midst of which there was the river running, and he's fleeing towards Jericho, and he is overtaken in the plains of Jericho. Verse 8, those who break the covenant, Deuteronomy 28, will be overtaken by judgment. So, as his pursuers close the distance between them and him, with him unable to gather any more speed nor find a suitable place to run, his soldiers scattering from him until the impression is he is left alone, well, this is a man facing divine condemnation, just as Jeremiah had told him repeatedly. So, this person, this Zedekiah, Jesus then builds him in to his parable, and he says, this man is every man. And you cannot be saved by anything. You can be saved by the priest, by the Levite, only by my grace, only by me. I save condemned people. Now, to grasp the wonder of it all, you've got to realize that you are condemned for your sins. This is how Paul's whole argument in Romans 1-8 really functions. At the end of it, he's full of this great paean of praise for God's grace. But you only get there by recognizing that you stand in the court before God and you are condemned. You are absolutely condemned. And it says that they took the king, took Zedekiah, took him to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and he gave judgment on him. He fled, he was overtaken by judgment, and now judgment is given upon him in the presence of the king, and then he is cast into prison, we're told, in verse 11. Just like Jesus says in his parable about the debtors, that they are hopelessly in debt, so they are cast into prison. Now, as I say, unless you grasp the seriousness of sin, your sin, that you deserve to be condemned, then you will not be able then to understand the wonder of his saving grace. Now, it's unpopular in our age to preach about sin, to convict people of their sinfulness. But actually, it is subconsciously at least what people are aware of. You see, the gospel, the true gospel, meets man's deepest psychological subconscious need. It speaks directly to our unarticulated, maybe, fears. And the greatest fear that there is in every human heart is that I shall be condemned. And the point is, we have been condemned. But this is Paul's point in Romans 1-8, that yes, we stand in the dark and are condemned, but if we are in Christ, we are not simply let off the hook, we are counted righteous. And we find that the judge is in fact our friend. He is in fact the advocate for the defense. He is in fact the witness. And in fact, there is nobody to condemn us because the only witness is him and he's witnessing for us because we are covered in the righteousness of Jesus. But you won't see the wonder of that unless you realize your own desperation. Now, occasionally in human life, there arises a situation where man comes down very small before God. You may be convicted of sin. You may actually fall into sin and God may use it to bring you to this point. It could be that you face terminal illness. It could be that you face an illness which actually doesn't work out to be terminal. It could be that something hits you out of left field, totally unexpected, false accusation, whatever it might be, tragedy in your family. A man comes down very small before God. Now, those moments are so precious. We're not given many of them in most lives, I don't think, but we are to learn from them and to remain small in our own eyes, to remain humble before God, to remain realizing our unworthiness and the depth of his grace. Because this then is the final motivation for us to have a flame of true praise and gratitude within us. This is the reason why we should be motivated to get out there and to witness, to work, to do what we can for the cause of God's Son. Because we realize the greatness of our salvation and the wonder of it all. And as I say, that motivation that grips your heart, that grips your life. You won't find this at all, nor will you find the necessary humility that God seeks above all things, unless you are convicted of your sin. This is the only final way to overcome judgmentalism. It's trendy these days not to be judgmental, to say, oh, no, I don't judge. Oh, no, I don't judge. But those very same people who say that very often are the most bitter and scathing in their judgment of anybody who has a different judgment to them on a matter. So they also haven't learnt the lesson. The whole thing is all predicated upon being convicted of our own sin and the greatness of his grace toward us. Then we will find this true humility. And you'll realise that, yep, I'm the injured man, and I'm Zedekiah. Absolute, I'm a fool, I'm an idiot. I shouldn't have taken the decisions, lived the path that I did, but I did, and yet the Good Samaritan came to me.